Hey everyone, and welcome to your deep dive. We've got a ton to unpack today, digging into all the articles and research and notes you sent over. Seems like you're really trying to get a handle on what's happening in the world.
It is a pretty wild time to be alive. And yeah, from what you've shared, it looks like you're zeroed in on three big things. The climate crisis, obviously, and then the rise of AI. Oh, and all the geopolitical stuff happening, those shifting global power dynamics.
It's a lot, right? Like trying to put together one of those giant 1,000-piece puzzles, but the picture keeps changing as you go.
Perfect analogy. It is kind of like a tapestry. You tug on one thread and, well, the whole thing ripples. So maybe we should start with the most urgent thread, the climate crisis. Some of the reports you flagged are pretty alarming.
Yeah, those heat waves this past summer were brutal. And the flooding in Southeast Asia, I mean, those pictures, whole villages underwater, just devastating. Millions of people displaced, food supplies disrupted.
And you even included a personal note about the wildfires in California messing up your family vacation. It really hits home that this isn't some abstract problem. This is impacting real people right now.
Right. And not just people, but everything. One article called "Those Flooded Rice Paddies in Southeast Asia, a Canary in the Coal Mine for Global Food Security."
Powerful image. And your sources make it pretty clear this isn't just an environmental issue. We're talking humanitarian crisis, economic crisis, and who knows, maybe even political crisis as countries scramble to deal with the fallout.
And speaking of fallout, those UN reports you included really lay out how urgent this is. We could hit some irreversible tipping points in the next decade if we don't seriously cut emissions.
Which begs the question, what does a tipping point actually look like? You know, one of your sources described it as a chain reaction, kind of like dominoes. Once we cross a certain threshold, it could set off this cascade of events, potentially catastrophic ones.
So we've got this climate time bomb ticking away. But you also flagged the rise of AI, artificial intelligence, as a major force.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it is everywhere. Our phones, our cars. It's crazy how fast it's become part of everyday life.
It is. And that note you made about XAI is interesting. They seem to be really pushing the limits of what's possible with AI, which obviously makes you wonder what that means for the future.
Yeah, I mean, some of the potential is really exciting, like those articles you sent about AI's role in detecting diseases early on or making energy grids more efficient. But then there's that flip side.
Right. One of the reports you pulled talked about jobs being lost because of AI-driven automation. Truck drivers, factory workers, even journalists are being impacted. It makes you think, how will all this automation affect your career? It's the real question now.
The question everybody's going to have to face, that's for sure. And it's not just jobs, is it? There's the whole ethical side of AI we can't ignore. Like, who's controlling these super powerful algorithms? And how do we keep bias out of them?
Huge questions. One of your sources had this really troubling case study about an AI system that was supposed to approve loans but ended up discriminating against certain groups of people. It's a wake-up call that even algorithms that seem neutral can make things even more unfair if we're not super careful.
And then there's the whole deepfake thing. I think you even highlighted an article about how a deepfake video of a world leader almost caused an international incident. It's scary to think how AI could be used for misinformation and manipulation.
Totally. That deepfake example shows how AI can blur the lines between real and fake. And as it gets more sophisticated, telling what's real from what's fabricated is going to get harder and harder.
We have a minefield out there.
Yeah.
And then on top of the climate crisis and the AI revolution, we've got all this geopolitical stuff happening. You know, shifting global power dynamics. It's like the ground is shifting under our feet.
It does feel like a major shakeup is happening, geopolitically speaking. Like the old playbook is out the window.
Yeah.
And those shifting sands you mentioned, that really captures the vibe right now. So much uncertainty.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know, imagine a giant chessboard.
Mm.
But the pieces are moving in ways you just don't expect. We've got the U.S. and China in this huge power struggle over tech and trade. Russia's making moves in Eastern Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got smaller players like those Gulf states trying to figure out where they fit in.
And it's not just about who has the biggest military or the strongest economy anymore. Influence is getting, well, more complicated. Take that South China Sea thing you pointed out. It started with fishing rights, right? But it blew up into this big geopolitical standoff with warships from different countries patrolling the area.
Really shows how connected everything is. I mean, those shipping lanes in the South China Sea, they're basically the arteries of global trade. Mess with them, and the whole world feels it. Kind of like that semiconductor shortage a while back. Remember that note you made?
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's wild how something like a microchip shortage can cause so much chaos. Impacts everything from cars to phones. Those supply chains are fragile, and all this geopolitical tension just makes them even more vulnerable.
Makes you realize, even something like turning on your phone, it's all tied to this huge web of global power dynamics. Kind of blows your mind. But it's not just the usual suspects anymore, is it? Your research on Africa was really interesting.
It is fascinating. You've definitely been paying attention to those new African leaders. They're doing things differently, not just siding with the West or the East. It's more like they're playing the field, working with China, India, Turkey, even the Gulf states.
Yeah, it's like they're playing 3D chess while everyone else is stuck in two dimensions. They're using their resources and their economies, which are growing like crazy, and their young population to become major players.
And the way they're using tech to skip over those old school development hurdles is really smart. One report you shared talked about how some African countries are becoming leaders in renewable energy, putting them at the forefront of the green tech movement.
So they're not just reacting to these global shifts, they're shaping them. It's pretty inspiring. But it also makes you wonder, how do all these huge forces we've been talking about, climate change, AI, and these power shifts, how do they all connect? Is there a bigger picture here?
That's the big question, isn't it? And honestly, these forces are so intertwined, you can't really separate them. They're constantly pushing and pulling on each other in these really complex ways.
Okay, so let's try to untangle this a little. We talked about how climate change is causing a lot of problems, from food shortages to mass migrations. Could those same forces also be changing the global balance of power?
Absolutely. Think about those flooded rice paddies in Southeast Asia. That's not just an environmental disaster. It's a recipe for political instability. If food prices keep going up and resources get scarce, well, we could see more competition between countries, maybe even conflict.
And then you've got AI. It could be this powerful tool for fighting climate change, or it could make inequality and disruption even worse. All depends on how we develop it and use it.
You've hit the nail on the head. The choices we make about AI now are going to have huge consequences down the road, not just for technology, but for who benefits from it and who gets left behind. Classic case of how technology is never neutral. It reflects the values and priorities of the people who create it.
So we've got climate change pushing the world in one direction, AI pulling it in another, and all these geopolitical shifts happening at the same time. It's like we're in one of those choose-your-own-adventure books, but the stakes are a lot higher this time around.
And the ending hasn't been written yet. That's what makes this such a crucial moment. The decisions we make, both as individuals and as a society, they're going to determine how the story ends.
It's exciting and terrifying at the same time, you know? We have the potential to create a better future, a more sustainable and just world, but the challenges are huge. So where do we even start? What can one person, someone like you listening right now, what can they do to make sense of all this and find their place in it?
It's a big question. And yeah, it's easy to feel overwhelmed, like it's all just too much. But I think the first step is not letting that feeling paralyze you.
Yeah, I get that. One of the things you sent, it was a quote from some young climate activist. It really stuck with me. They said, "Hope is a verb." I mean, it's not just a feeling, right? It's about actually doing something, engaging, resisting, imagining, and working towards something better.
It's a great quote. Hope is a verb. It is a call to action. And there are a ton of ways to take action, even small things that can add up and make a real difference.
Totally. One thing that jumped out from your notes was how interested you are in the idea of systemic change. You highlighted a bunch of grassroots movements all over the world that are challenging the way things are, pushing for systems that are more fair and sustainable.
Yeah, those movements are pretty inspiring, whether it's young people demanding action on climate change, or communities fighting for social justice, or even just people coming up with new technologies for a greener future. It shows you there are a lot of people out there who aren't willing to just accept things as they are.
Yeah, and those voices are getting louder, more connected. We're seeing more global solidarity, movements learning from each other, sharing strategies, working together across borders. That gives me hope.
Me too. It's a good reminder that change doesn't just come from the top down. It comes from the bottom up, from people demanding something better.
And speaking of demanding better, you mentioned in your notes that you've been thinking about how to be a more informed and engaged citizen, which is a great place to start.
It is. Knowledge is power, right? The more we understand these issues, the better choices we can make, the more effectively we can advocate for change, and the more we can hold our leaders accountable.
It's not just about taking in information, though. It's about looking at it critically. One of the things you highlighted in your research was media literacy, which, with all the information overload and misinformation out there, is so important these days. Being able to tell fact from fiction, spot bias, think for yourself.
Absolutely. It's like a superpower these days, being an informed citizen. You can see through the noise, spot the spin, and make sense of what's really going on.
And with great power comes great responsibility, right? To engage in thoughtful discussions, question assumptions, and speak up for what you believe in.
Exactly. It's like that saying, be the change you want to see in the world. But maybe in 2025, it's more like, understand the change you want to see and be part of creating it.
I like that. And I think that's a good place to wrap up our deep dive. It's clear you've been putting in the work to understand all of this, and you're already taking steps to make a difference.
So keep learning, keep questioning, and find other people who share your values. And don't underestimate how much your voice and your actions matter. Even small actions can have a ripple effect.
Well said. And thanks for coming on this journey with us, exploring all this with us. Hopefully it's given you some things to think about, maybe even some new ideas for how to shape the future. Until next time, stay curious and stay engaged.